What if the very thing we think protects us is actually robbing us blind? 40 million American adults wrestle with anxiety disorders, yet most of us treat worry like a necessary evil, something responsible people do to stay prepared. But here's the uncomfortable truth. Anxiety is spending today's strength trying to control tomorrow's uncertainties. It's carrying burdens we were never meant to lift, solving problems that don't yet exist, and sacrificing the only moment we truly have, right now, for futures that rarely unfold as feared. Studies show that 85% of what we worry about never happens. Let that sink in. We're trading real peace for imaginary problems. This isn't about dismissing legitimate concerns or clinical anxiety that requires professional help. It's about recognizing that everyday worry contradicts the very foundation of trust, becoming a thief that steals joy while changing nothing about tomorrow. The invitation isn't to ignore reality, but to respond differently, to discover that peace isn't the absence of problems, but the presence of trust amid them. When anxiety strikes, recall specific moments you survived impossible situations. The health scare that resolved, the financial crisis that worked out, the relationship that healed. These aren't pleasant memories. They're evidence you've weathered storms before. Facing breast cancer, I experienced supernatural peace by anchoring myself in past faithfulness. During recovery, a $10,000 gift arrived precisely when needed, not through my planning, but through provision I couldn't orchestrate. Our minds naturally catastrophize, spinning worst-case scenarios on endless repeat. But deliberately recalling how we've been sustained interrupts anxiety's narrative. We're not denying present difficulties. We're viewing them through proven faithfulness rather than imagined disaster. The psalmists understood this, constantly recounting past deliverances during present troubles. Memory becomes a weapon when wielded intentionally against worry's assault. Peace isn't a feeling, it's a fight. Not gritting your teeth, but deliberately redirecting thoughts from fear to faith. Paul called it the good fight of faith because worry doesn't surrender easily. Every morning, anxious thoughts demand entry. The question isn't whether they'll knock, it's whether you'll let them in. When negative thoughts attack, speak truth aloud, repeatedly. The battle is won through consistency. Like physical training, each repetition strengthens the muscle. Each time you choose trust over anxiety, you build spiritual muscle memory. This doesn't mean denying reality or pretending problems don't exist. It means refusing to let problems define your internal state, catching anxious thoughts early before they spiral and redirecting them toward what's true rather than what's feared. We worry because we're afraid. Afraid of loss, rejection, or failure. So we grip tighter, trying to control outcomes we were never meant to manage. But the tighter we hold on, the more peace slips away. Trust produces rest. Worry produces headaches. The difference isn't in circumstances, but in who we believe is ultimately in control. Consider the Israelites collecting manna in the wilderness. God provided exactly what they needed each day, with clear instructions not to hoard. Yet some tried gathering extra for tomorrow, only to watch it rot. That's anxiety in action, trying to collect tomorrow's provision today, refusing to trust that what we need will be there when we need it. Many of us struggle with trust because people have failed us. Childhood wounds and broken promises create beliefs that we're unlovable or that no one will show up for us. But measuring divine faithfulness by human standards is like judging the ocean's depth by a puddle. Transformation happens through repeated exposure to a love that doesn't abandon, doesn't condemn, and doesn't fail. If worry is our default response, prayer should become our first response, our immediate reflex when anxiety strikes. Rick Warren said it perfectly. The more you pray, the less you'll panic. Yet many avoid prayer because we've overcomplicated it, turning conversation into religious performance. Prayer isn't about eloquence or using the right words. It's simply talking to the one who already knows what you need. When anxiety hits, pray immediately, not later, now. Make definite requests. Instead of vague, bless me prayers, be specific. I need help with this financial decision. I need wisdom for this conversation. Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer as a simple template. Acknowledge who God is, ask for His will, request daily provision, seek forgiveness while extending it to others, and ask for protection. A heartfelt one-minute prayer accomplishes more than 30 minutes of empty repetition. You can pray anywhere, in the car, at your desk, in the grocery store line. But prayers must be offered in faith, and faith works through love. If we're harboring resentment or refusing forgiveness, we're unplugging the lamp and wondering why there's no light. This isn't about earning God's favor. It's about removing obstacles that block what He's already offering. Thanksgiving isn't just polite, it's powerful spiritual warfare. Paul's instruction to pray with thanksgiving reveals that gratitude releases power, while complaint invites defeat. Whatever we focus on expands in our awareness. A homeless man feeding birds can express gratitude for life and love, while those with full pantries complain about lack. The difference isn't circumstances, it's perspectives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer warned that failing to thank God for daily gifts prevents us from receiving greater spiritual ones. Romans 8:28 promises God works all things for good, enabling thanksgiving in all circumstances, not because everything feels good, but because we trust the outcome. Like Joseph told his brothers, what they intended for harm, God intended for good. This requires discipline, the bridge between wanting gratitude and practicing it. Through consistent practice, we train ourselves to find blessings even in unwanted situations. Verbalizing gratitude matters because words create spiritual reality. When we thank God during battle, like Jehoshaphat's singers praising while enemies approached, our thanksgiving becomes warfare that confuses the enemy and secures victory. After 4 decades, I've learned peace isn't something we create, it's something we access. Jesus said, "My peace I give you, not my peace I'll help you manufacture." The peace is already given. We simply receive it by releasing worry. True peace isn't the absence of problems, but the presence of stability during storms, like a bird maintaining its nest despite turbulence. Our thought patterns determine our peace level. We can choose elevated consciousness, responding with wisdom rather than reacting with fear, but we must actively choose this perspective daily. Many lack peace because they believe God expects perfection, creating anxiety when we fall short. But God views us as perfect because of Christ's work, even while we're growing. Peace requires active pursuit. Prioritizing it may mean schedule changes, saying no to certain activities, and forgiving quickly. Many lack peace because they let others' opinions determine their worth or compare themselves constantly to others. In a world that markets anxiety as responsibility, remember, 85% of what you worry about will never happen. When anxious thoughts knock, remember past faithfulness, pray immediately with thanksgiving, and watch peace that transcends understanding guard your heart. Peace isn't waiting on the other side of solved problems. It's available right now.